Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. We all know HR tech is just right around the corner. Everybody is talking HR technology, but then today we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful guest to talk more about what's on the spectrum of HR and the intersection of HR with the HR technology. So without further ado, let's kick off today's show. And by the way, happy Monday to all. And if you are listening to Drive Thru HR on the go, you can dial into 347-996-5600 and you will be able to listen to our show. And if you are on Twitter, hit the hashtag DDHR and you can ask any questions. We will be able to pull that up. So, without further ado, let me welcome our guest for today, Bob Leto. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great. So, how are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to say right off now, if I stop or struggle for a second, I'm going to blame it on jet lag. I just got back from England over the weekend, where we have one of our offices. So, that's going to be my excuse if there's any slip-ups, all right?
Oh, no, not at all. Glad you joined and tuned in to Drive Thru HR today. And our audience are really, really waiting to hear some of the interesting insights from you. So let's kick off. Bob, if you don't mind, would you please introduce yourself so our audience can learn a little bit more about you?
Sure. Yeah, thanks. My name is Bob Leto. I'm based in San Francisco, California. I've got about 15 years in recruitment and HR. I initially started off on the recruitment side, which really still remains probably my biggest passion in the whole HR space. Started off on the agency side, moved in-house to help companies, you know, grow organically. Love recruiting, very passionate about it, but after doing it for a number of years, wanted to kind of expand on the whole HR life cycle, where I kind of felt like my passion and personality could lend itself as well. So I'm currently the head of HR for a company called DataSift. DataSift is a big data processing platform that's focused on social media data and business data as well. And we've got some really cool technology that helps companies filter and sift through the literally billions of interactions that are relevant to them. We use sources like Twitter, WordPress, Reddit, Instagram, YouTube, Yammer, LexisNexis, and all of that. And what we do, Nisha, is we ingest this data, process it, and deliver to over 1,000 of our clients around the world. This equates to over 2 billion interactions per day. And we do some really interesting things that would be relevant to those that are interested in kind of the HR tech space. What we do is we enrich the data with demographics and geographical data. We measure their social influence and audience reach. And we do things like machine learning, using machine learning to help for sentiment analysis. And I'm happy to give some, like, use cases that would be, you know, particular to the HR space regarding that. Just a little bit more, the company was founded about 5 years ago. The company was founded just outside of London. We've got about 70 of our employees there. The company's now headquartered in San Francisco, where I am. And the company's just about doubled in size, currently about 125 employees, but doubled in size since I started.
Wow, this is so amazing to hear. You have been a person, started your career from recruiting to HR, and then now you are on the path of transforming HR, right, with the use of data. So what's keeping you up at night these days?
You know, to me, I've kind of put it down to like three main areas, and just to be cute, I'd kind of have it be like my ABCs. For me, the A is attraction, talent attraction, of course, right? And mm-hmm. I think HR tech is going to be like the number one differentiator for the successful and innovative companies out there. I think HR tech, as it relates to attraction, is really, there's some really interesting things you can do around sourcing and then also around employer branding. Second would be balance. For me, being in a startup environment, you know, we've got some, we've done some amazing growth this year. Next year is going to be amazing. But how do I keep energized and kind of balanced with my energy and passion on a personal basis? And how do I, you know, as head of HR, kind of help all the other employees kind of keep that balance? And then finally, I would say culture. And, you know, for me, especially with being in a company that has, is a, you know, although still small, has a global footprint and has two distinct offices in London and in San Francisco, there's certainly some challenges about having one culture with that distance. That makes sense?
Right. Yeah, it does. It does. So let's focus on one by one. As you said, the first point of your ABC is that is attraction. You know, 15 years ago, we didn't have all these social platforms, and now with these tools like big data tools, and as you are helping your clients in terms of making informed decisions, all those tools were not available in the very beginning, I know, when you started your career, right? But now there are tons and tons of tools out there, and you said the employer branding strategy when it comes to attracting the talent. So what's going on the horizon of talent attraction nowadays?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, so I've been here just about a year and a half, a little bit more now, and, you know, number one, I just, it's amazing just how much research you can do on a company, you know, even before you apply to and decide to send in, you know, make an application or send in your resume. I mean, there's, you know, obviously just all the vast sources over the internet. You know, there's places like, you know, Glassdoor where you can actually get, you know, reviews and, you know, hear from people that have either interviewed at a company or you know, work there. You know, I think it's also really interesting. I mean, one thing that I did before, or as I was interviewing here, you know, of course I read every single page I could on the DataSith website, but one of the things that I found so interesting was, like, comparing what the company said about values and workplace and all that, and matching that to following some of the key executives on Twitter and kind of seeing, you know, what were the last 30 tweets that the CEO made, and, you know, did that resonate with what I thought the culture, and did it resonate with the things that I was hearing in the interview process? And quite frankly, I think I learned more about the personality and, you know, behaviors of some of the key executives through Twitter than anything I could have learned on the corporate website.
Indeed. In fact, this is more related to the culture that you said. That is your third point of ABC. But do you think
I was going to say, getting back to the attraction part, you know, knowing what I just said, you know, Twitter is an example, but really all of our social media properties, I'm trying to use those to really give a multidimensional aspect of what is life and what is work like at DataSift.
Indeed. So how do you get your employees involved in this, in your talent attraction strategy? Because, you know, when employees talk about how they work in that organization and how do they feel about working in that organization, chances are there will get a good response from their references and even from the talent that they are searching for you, right? So how do you get your employees to talk about your brand?
You know, it hasn't taken a lot of effort. I mean, a lot of it has just really happened organically, Nisha. I've not really given much guidance. You know, they're encouraged to do it. But, I mean, I think the reality is because of what DataSift does, a lot of our employees, the vast majority of our employees, are, you know, they're having these daily interactions on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. And so, you know, luckily for me, you know, they are excited to work here, and it just kind of comes by second nature for them to share some of this part of their, you know, professional life on social.
That's true. So what are some tips that you wanted to give to our audience when it comes to making a talent attraction strategy for their startup organization?
That's a great question. I would say that I guess there's a couple things. I mean, a lot of us have probably seen some of those, you know, good images on Twitter or Facebook and some of the social media channels that kind of explain the differences between the different channels. So I guess there's not a one-size-fits-all or one channel, I would mm-hmm. say, that is going to be, you know, the holy grail or going to be just like the perfect one. I would say experiment with a lot. I would, you know, Twitter has been really great for me and for DataSift. So has Facebook. But, you know, there's also, I think, tremendous value in pictures and in images. So, you know, I try and put a lot of spontaneous, you know, of pictures of images, whether it's, you know, our Foodie Friday and just having some nice catered lunch here or, you know, out for some social events. And I encourage our employees to do that as well. And, again, I think those come across from an attraction and branding perspective more authentic than anything that I try and control too much from a, you know, kind of corporate branding perspective, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So experiment. Get out there. Try a bunch of things.
Great. That is indeed a encouraging factor for employees. I know some of the organizations are restricting the social media within the organization, which is really lame nowadays. So
I agree. I mean, I see so many of my peers that are really focused on creating really comprehensive social media mm-hmm. guidelines and really wanting to get control. And, you know, I think that's a naive perspective to take these days. I mean, we, you know, so many of us are on social media networks and talking, and we're going to be saying things whether our employer kind of wants us to or not. So
correct.
I think the best you can do is just kind of get ahead of it and be honest about that your employees are going to be doing this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, if you're too concerned about having a guideline uh-huh. or policy about, you know, Jimmy or Johnny or Sarah, you know, saying the wrong thing, you know, maybe you've got a recruiting problem. You need to kind of trust your employees. And if you can't trust them to what they're going to say, maybe that's a bigger problem.
Correct. And leaders should model a behavior when it comes to encouraging the employees. Probably, as you said, some of the CEOs should go ahead and tweet how it's like to be working with wonderful, amazing people around him, right? So
for sure.
Let's move on to the next topic, that is finding a balance. That you said you that is one of your passion and one of your energy to bring together. So that way you will be able to find a balance in what you do. So when it comes to HR, from an HR perspective, you know, we have all those distractions out there. We have social media, technology, but then yet HR has to be human when it comes to interacting with employees, right? So how do they find a balance between both? We have technology on one end, but then we have real people sitting out there wanting to hear from us, wanting to talk to us. What are your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's for me, what has worked best is when you have a combination of both of those parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree with you. I think first and foremost, it has to, you know, you need to focus on the human part first. And you know, while there's some amazing technology that can help us, you know, communicate faster and farther, you know, there's nothing like an in-person conversation, you know, there never
Absolutely.
Is. I mean, that's just why, you know, why I just spent some time in England, and I get over there pretty often because I, you know, through, you know, Skype and Hangouts and Twitter and all that, I'm talking to all of my English coworkers on a daily basis, but those are mm-hmm. never going to fully replace sitting down and having coffee or tea or lunch in person.
That is an interesting experience. Tell us a little
The other thing to that is, you know, as the company scales and gets bigger, you know, when the office was just 25 employees here, it was pretty mm-hmm. easy for me just to be able to, you know, just by size, be able to kind of look around and really kind of be able to tell, you know, are people relaxed? Are people stressed? What's the energy level feel like? But as it gets bigger, or because maybe I'm traveling, you know, one mm-hmm. of the tech things that I've done is just put in place a really informal kind of like iPad-based pulse survey. And again, just getting back to the human aspect of it, you know, what we do is we make it, you know, there's some serious questions in there, but there's just as many kind of playful questions as well. You know, so,
give
you
us
know,
some
we
examples.
Just, well, I mean, so from the serious side, it might be something, you know, kind of like following, you know, some more kind of established questions like, you know, have you received any recognition in the last 7 days? You know, do you have a friend at work? Do you, you know, has someone in the senior level, you know, talked to you in the last, you know, X number of months about your career growth? But then on the playful side, it could be anything from, you know, how'd you like those donuts today? You know, or again, one of the perks here we have catered lunch twice a week, and that might be just, you know, would you have this this meal again? Do you recommend that we bring this restaurant back? Or, you know, are you excited about the next social event that we're going to have? So things like that.
Great. So
you know, what's nice, again, from a scaling perspective, since I have this on an iPad, you know, I can kind of measure across the different offices, and I can kind of like measure, you know, just kind of measure based on, you know, the time of month, or, you know, we just closed out our quarter last week. And, you know, so, you know, I would kind of expect the salespeople to be a little more burned out or a little more, more burned out than say, the engineers this month. But, again, kind of tying that to the next cycle of, you know, product release. You know, it's kind of nice. It's an interesting tool to be able to share, to be able to get some metrics and kind of be able to quantify, you know, what your gut might be telling you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Well, you talked a little bit about your Skype, using of Skype and Google Hangout when it comes to interacting with your employees, and especially when you travel to London, and if your sales employees are traveling to different parts of the world, how do you use the technology when it comes to having a real-time conversation with your employees?
I mean, besides the ones that you mentioned, like Google Hangouts?
Because I've seen that some of the tools that allow a real-time interaction between managers and their subordinates, especially when it comes to sales employees, and those are aligned with their performance management system as well. So is there any sort of real-time communications that are tools that you guys are using at your organization? If so, we would love to hear that.
You know, that's an area that I'm exploring right now, but no, not really. I mean, one thing that I'm kind of investigating right now, and I think that there's some, you know, at least on initial research, I think there's some really cool tools out there to kind of help better align company objectives or goals, and kind of around this whole kind of talent alignment technologies out there. And again, as we've gone from kind of small company to more established, I mean, I think the timing is right for us to really explore that. And again, being a technology company ourselves, I really want to make sure that HR is using technology as much as, if not more than some of the other areas.
That's really cool. All right, so let's move on to our next topic of your ABC, that is C, the culture.
Culture, yeah.
Well, in fact, while we were talking to the recruiters out there, there is a notion that they are not getting about culture fit. Some of them are saying it is a myth, not a reality. So what do you think? Is culture fit a myth or a reality?
I think it's a definite reality. I think it's a definite reality. And if I look at, almost any sort of metrics around, managers, satisfaction with onboarding or employee satisfaction on onboarding, or going all the way to the farther end and looking at our attrition rates, I would say that by and large, by a huge majority, I would say, culture fit more than, the right skills is definitely the reason that people leave our company or ask to leave if things don't work out. It's a difficult thing to measure, and I think some managers are better than others. But I definitely think it's real, and I'm happy that especially like with our, I would say all of my executives, but certainly some things come to mind about like my engineering head who recently is really, I think, I don't know if he's had an epiphany or if he's just kind of come around, but he's definitely, I'm really happy to see that he is while we're hiring for some very technical roles, around big data that, have all these buzzwords, with Python and Hadoop and, all that sort of thing. He has come to a realization that an engineer can have all of these things, and yet if they do not have the behavioral attributes and have kind of the values that mash up with our company, he's fully prepared to walk away from any client that doesn't meet us on a culture perspective.
That's true. So for a recruiter, they're having a hard time explaining culture fit. So if you can explain the culture fit, what are some thoughts that HR professionals need to be aware of? How do they describe a culture fit so that a third-party recruiter would know when they source a candidate? I guess that would help them.
Yeah, so having been on the agency side myself, I mean, one strategy that I've taken here is I've taken an approach where I've really reduced the number of agencies that we're working with, but at the same time trying to make a deeper relationship and build rapport with those that we are. And, it's interesting, living in this kind of global world that we do today and, where you can really recruit from anywhere, but I haven't made it a requirement, but I've always made it certainly available and really encouraged any outside recruiter that I'm working with. I want them to come in and see our offices. And, like a lot of other companies, for those that can't come into the office, we've made recruitment videos so you can kind of, we're showing the outside world what it does look like to work inside of DataSys. But again, that's a 4-minute video. What are you you're only going to capture so much. So to get back to your point, I mean, what I try and do is I try and have people come in and actually see it and smell it and view it to make our culture more tangible. whenever possible. Because at the
end
of the day,
cool.
it kind of feels like, you know, all of us are always, we're all using a lot of the same adjectives and words to describe our culture, and yet you can use the same words and have very different experiences.
That is true. It's like organizations, they have an interesting video on their career site, but when that candidate stepped into that organization, the experience is going to be different. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's really great you guys are working on making sure, working on letting everyone know that they are on the same page. So,
one of the words that's thrown out there a lot these days is transparent, but I think it's and it's often overused. But I mean, I think it's in everyone's best interest to be transparent, even if you have some blemishes, you know, even if everything isn't perfect, you know, the more that you can open up your culture and your company, kind of the good, the bad, you know, the beautiful and the ugly, all at the same time. You know, it's in everyone's best interest. It takes a lot of time for an applicant to research a company and, if they really want the job, to really prepare. And at the same time, it takes a lot for recruitment and HR and the hiring managers to speak to all those candidates. So I know it's a little bit like, you know, a dating game or something like that, but why not just be a bit more genuine and save everyone some time and trouble?
Totally. So, Bob, we have about 3 minutes left at this point, and I'm going to ask this question to you because you are one step ahead of any other HR professionals out there because you're working on data shift and you are working on tens and tens of data and helping your clients make informed decisions, right? So what's on your horizon when it comes to data in HR?
Well, I think that there's some really interesting things around, predictive analytics. You know, we're actually, DataSift is actually powering a couple HR tech companies and kind of helping them provide some enriched data. You know, I think there's a lot of things both on the recruitment side, sourcing-wise, where, you know, companies like data will be able to really help, find that proverbial needle in the haystack. I mean, I'm trying to use DataSift internally to as a sourcing tool, you know, not just look at people's behaviors on social sites to be able to find, you know, whether that is, consistent with what their resume or CV says, or maybe they don't even have that resume or CV out there, so maybe I can find someone that my competition can't. Conversely, I'm really excited about this whole kind of talent alignment area and being able to use HR tech, you know, to be able to, one, help. I see it as a two-way street. You know, one, make sure that the right people are in the right jobs to kind of enable the business. But again, I see this as a two-way street and wanting to make sure that we're getting feedback, you know, through big data, through HR technology, so that we're meeting, that the company is meeting the needs of the employee as well.
Great.
And I think it's early days in some of that, but I think there's some, you know, I think it's a great time to be in HR if you like technology today.
Indeed. So, Bob, thank you so much for joining with us and sharing your lunchtime. It's been a pleasure to always have you at Drive Through HR. So where can our audience continue this conversation and get a hold of you? What's the best social media platform or email address that you wanted to share?
Thanks. So, you can reach me. I'm on LinkedIn, Bob Lato, my Twitter handle is SafetyBobSF. I used to do a lot of volunteer work with the Red Cross, so that's kind of where that nickname came in.
Oh, go ahead, Bob.
Otherwise, you can reach me through email, bob.period bob.leto@gmail.com.
Great. So, folks, that was Bob Leto, and follow him on Twitter at SafetyBobSF or San Francisco. So, Bob, thank you so much for joining with us today, and we will talk to you all sometime soon.
This has been really fun. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.